broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Well, welcome back to the Liberty Roundtable with Sam Bushman and Chris Carlson. This fine Saturday morning. I don't know if it's fine where you're at down there, Cameron, in Florida, but it's a beautiful day, starting to be a beautiful day in here in Utah. And we're talking today about Frederick Bastiat. And he wrote a book called The Law. And speaking of the law, a very simple title indeed, we should probably pose the question and attempt to answer, what is law? Okay, according to Frederick Bastiat, he sums it up in one sentence. It is the collective organization of the individual right to lawful defense. And I would agree. Most people think that law is, you know, anything the government tries to impose upon us. And if it was passed by a majority in Congress, why, by golly, we have an obligation to abide by it. And I say, not so fast. Law is basically created by God, and it is, and by nature, just and righteous. And if man, no matter how much of a majority he has to back man's law up, if it violates God's principles, then it is not law in my way of thinking, and I would imagine Sam's as well. Bastiat goes on to say, thus, since an individual cannot lawfully use force against the person, the liberty, or the property of another individual, then the common force, for the same reason, cannot lawfully be, when I say common force, like government force, for the same reason, cannot lawfully be used to destroy the person, the liberty, or the property of individuals or groups. Governments do not have, in our country, constitutional authority, and in general, divine authority to take material wealth from one group of people and just redistribute it to another group of people. Individuals have that power, but they don't have the power to forcibly do it. They have the power to persuasively do it if they can. But for the same reason that you or I, Sam, cannot knock on our neighbor's door and say, hey, I've got a friend who's in dire straits and he needs quick cash, so I'm going to require that you give me a donation of $100. And if my neighbor refuses, I do not have the power to compel him to cough up $100, even though it's for a charitable cause. But the government does that on a regular basis in our behalf, and it's wrong. It's not charity. It's extortion. It's force. It's a violation of divine principles. And that's what Frederick Bastiat is saying when he says it is a collective organization of the individual right to lawful defense. Notice it's not offense, it's defense. So we can defend ourselves against evil aggressors, but we cannot go on the offense. We cannot even,
Let me add a redneck flair to Bastiat, because I think it'll help people understand the points that you're making. Bastiat is a very eloquent author, a very deep thinker. A man who really understood the principles and has the ability to encapsulate them in a very short book called The Law, written by Frederick Bastiat. But this book is a little bit of a hard read, because you've got to ponder what he's saying. As you heard that one sentence, you go, what? Well, let me kind of summarize it this way and kind of redneck speak. Hey, man, don't hurt me and don't take my stuff. Okay, that's all. Just don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff. Just leave me alone. And so that's really what the law is don't hurt me, don't take my stuff. Otherwise, you can do whatever you want to.
Exactly.
And the idea is, when I do whatever I want to, I can't hurt you and I can't take your stuff. So that application isn't just for Sam Bushman to say, don't hurt me, don't take my stuff. We all say that. Don't hurt me, don't take my stuff. And when you think about that, that almost boils the Ten Commandments down to a redneck version, right? It takes the law and boils it down to this defensive point. Look, I'm defending myself. Don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff. And if everybody says that and we all obeyed that, we would be honoring the law. Now, there is a moral component to that, too, which means don't hurt thyself either. That would be God's law about our temples, meaning our bodies yes. being our temples. Okay, not only don't hurt me, don't take my stuff, but I can't hurt myself, and I can't destroy my stuff either. So when I do things that violate God's laws, I'm hurting someone else or myself because I'm losing the moral high ground. But you got to ask, what is law? That's law. Don't hurt me, don't take my stuff. It's a defensive position. And you can do whatever you want as long as you don't violate the defense of others. Now, what is liberty, you ask? Chris?
Okay. Liberty, in short, and this is a quote from Frederick Bastiat, in short, it's not liberty the freedom of every person to make full use of his faculties so long as he does not harm other persons while doing so? I would concur. And he goes on to say, is not liberty the restricting of the law only to its rational sphere of organizing the right of the individual to lawful self-defense and of punishing injustices? So those, he really condenses it down to two different things. And I would, if I were to answer that question, I would probably condense it down to the collective right to defend life, liberty, and property on an individual level. And that's it.
Yeah, so I look at liberty and law as two sides to the same coin, Chris. Law says, mm-hmm. look, you cannot do anything except for defensively protect your God-given rights. That's the law. Law protects liberty. Liberty allows me to act within the law. Right? So they're two sides to the same coin, if you will. Again, law says defensively, you can't take away my right to do anything I want to as long as I'm not violating the law. As long as I'm not hurting people and taking other people's stuff or hurting myself, I should be free to do whatever I want to, and vice versa. Yep. And liberty does not violate law, and law does not violate liberty. There's a justice and a mercy component to both, Chris.
Well, and I'll give you a funny example. About 10 years ago, I had chickens, and I didn't realize that I wasn't supposed to have chickens in my backyard. I went down to the city council, and we had a little discussion, and during a city council meeting, one of the city councilors said, after I made this comment, my comment was, well, if my neighbors don't care if I have chickens, then what's the big deal? What harm is done? And one of the city councilors made the statement, well, just because your neighbors don't mind, does that mean you should be able to have a buffalo in your backyard? And my response was, well, yeah, if it's not hurting anybody, why can't I have a buffalo or a herd of buffalo? But, you know, he thought he was being clever by making this absurd example that I would say, oh, of course, you can't have no buffalo in your backyard. But if it doesn't harm, it doesn't do any harm to any human being anywhere, why not? And that's the essence of what Bastiat is saying here. Now, I'm not going to go out and get a buffalo because I think my neighbors probably would be a little concerned about that.
Well, and it would be harm for the buffalo to be corralled in such a tight space too, though. And again, you have moral law here. You can't do harm to the animals and to God's creations either.
That's true. Yeah. And I think, you know, we have to extend certain considerations to animals as well. For example, I see people chain up their dogs in their backyards and when it's 20 degrees outside and I'm like, dude, that dog's probably freezing to death. How would you like to be chained? Anyway, so we need to be just as mindful of the rights and desires of animals.
So the point is, real law comes from God, and real law acknowledges us as sovereign. And that means we can do whatever we want as long as we're not harming others or ourselves. Liberty is our ability to freely act within the law. When we violate law, we lose liberty. They're two sides to the same coin. So why would we study law then if... you know, if we study good law, but we can't even have good law in our society because so many people are so ignorant, why even study it, Chris?
And I get that question all the time, Sam. You know, why are you so active in politics? There's nothing you can do. You know, these principles are correct, but you'll never be able to implement them going into the future. You know, that these were principles that were part of a bygone era. No, they are not principles of a bygone era. These are eternal principles. And they will be applied again, whether in this life or in the next world. We believe that Christ eventually will personally reign upon this earth, Sam. At least I do, and I think most Christians do. Now, does that mean Christ is going to come and just be our dictator and, you know, we won't have to think about these principles? No. I think he will come to earth, and I think through, I don't know what type of a process, point leaders that will be able to articulate and implement these same principles that are embodied in our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence. But in order to do that, we need to be prepared. You know, it's not going to be a crash course. Okay, everybody learn about the Constitution real quick, because we got to set up a paradisiacal society and a Zionistic society. I don't think that that will be the case. So Satan is, and here's the situation. Satan today is pulling out all of his stops. He's using all of his tricks. And I think this is an ideal learning opportunity. If we want to be able to live, and I believe that there will be a millennium, I think this is fairly universal among most Christian sects, Sam, a millennial of peace, where for 1,000 years we'll be able to live in peace. But in order to do that, Sam, we have to apply these principles for a long period of time. We have to embody them into the Constitution if it's going to be changed. A lot of people might say, oh, we need to change the Constitution. No, that's dangerous, like an Article 5 convention. But I believe that, and we'll continue that discussion on the other side of the break, I believe there will be some changes in the Constitution. We can talk about that on the other side of the break.
We'll do it in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Carlson, this is Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is liberty? Law is a framework created by God Almighty. I should say law existed. God subscribes to law and expects us to do the same. Law is the defensive mechanism that says, hey, you can't do things that violate other people's liberty. What is liberty? My ability to do whatever I want as long as I don't violate the law. You see how they're two sides to the same coin? So the question comes up, why do we study good law if we cannot currently have good law? The answer is law is an eternal principle. Learning to obey laws is part of the reason we're on this earth. Okay, it's a big testing ground to teach us to live within the law, maximize our liberty, obey the law. That's what makes us eventually great sovereigns under God Almighty. Now, to make this more clear for each of you, the reason that I want to learn about good law is because I want to learn to obey good law. The only way I can obey good law is if I know what good law is, right? And if I learn to obey good law and I'm self-governed and I maximize my liberty by obedience to the law, then I become a self-governed individual. See, our country was made for self-governed people living with religious and moral supports, living our lives, maximizing our happiness, putting our prosperity under the greatest economic engine ever devised, and literally letting us live together, love together, express happiness. Okay, that's what liberty and the law does when properly balanced. And that's what self-governing people do. I believe Christ, when he comes, will teach us correct principles, and we will govern ourselves, and we will be obedient to his commandments by agency, by freedom of choice. So what is liberty? What is the law? Think about it as agency properly carried out. That is the self-governed individual. See, I can talk a little more eloquent than a redneck, but I try to put these points on the kitchen table for understanding, ladies and gentlemen. Do you have a final point on this one, Chris?
I've got a lot of final points. So, you know, we're living during a period of time that I think is a great blessing. Now, a lot of people disagree with me on that, Sam, because all these tricks that Satan's pulling out of his hat, and one of which we just went through for the last 2.5 years, this COVID-19 fake pandemic. Now, hopefully many of us learn that Satan can create circumstances that looks like the government is protecting us, but they're doing nothing of the sort. We need to treasure up these experiences and learn from them going into the future, because I think, like you said, we need to learn, number one, to be self-governed. But I don't think during the 1,000-year period of tranquility and peace and prosperity that most Christians believe we will eventually go into with Christ at its helm. First of all, I don't think Christ is going to be a dictator. And second of all, I think there will be local governments, there will be regional governments, and there probably will be a national government similar to what we experience today. We're going to have to apply what we learned right now, Sam, during this probationary period to that situation. So now is a golden opportunity to learn all those tricks, because we will not be able to reestablish this nation unless we've learned from those, and I believe maybe redo the Constitution. And I know that's a trigger word for a lot of people in your audience. Oh, no, Article 5 Convention, like I mentioned before.
Yeah, I'm fine if we redo the Constitution when the Savior is here to lead the charge. That's a different discussion altogether. But I will say this. Yeah. Remember this, though. We know that Christ will not be a dictator, because if so, he would violate the very law he established.
Yep. And those principles that we're learning today will be very powerful. I'm not going to put a time limit on them, Sam, because there is no time limit to them. I mean, the right to personal self-bodily autonomy is eternal. You think there's somebody in heaven that's telling God what to do? No, he's completely and totally self-autonomous. He is he's self-sovereign. This is probably the better word to use. Nobody dictates terms to him, and eventually I think we can get pretty close to that position personally. But we have to internalize the lessons that we're learning today, and not only learn correct principles, Sam, but a lot of people disagree with me on this. You tell me how you feel. I think we need to understand incorrect principles just as much as we need to understand correct principles, so that we can make a distinction between the two, because there are a lot of counterfeits out there, and sometimes it's really hard to distinguish between the two.
Yeah, that's why you got to know the law, and you got to know the violations of the law. Right? You got to know what the violations are, so you can call a halt when the laws are being violated.
Yeah, because, you know, this pandemic, the whole pandemic thing we've been going through, I never predicted it because I didn't see it coming. I didn't think that they could use, and I'm not going to say the virus is fake, it's real. My wife and I got it, you got it, a lot of my friends got it, but our response was not correct. So that's something that hopefully we don't repeat again, you know, throughout going forward.
Yeah, the fake part of it is the government pretending it was a pandemic, and therefore government can violate all separations of powers because an emergency demands or requires it. That is the great lie. The great lie is that we can suspend the Constitution because we've got an emergency. And once the emergency's over, we'll bring back the Constitution. The Constitution's a good document, but Sam, it just doesn't really fit the needs. No, in crisis is when the Constitution was supposed to sing, was supposed to shine, was supposed to make sure that even in a crisis, nobody got too out of control, too much power and authority. And we, the people, were derelict in our duty by letting that happen. We should have called a halt to the con game. We should have impeached Donald Trump on the spot. We should have literally used the checks and balances to impeach half the governors in the country or more. And we should have literally doubled down and said, listen, I appreciate that you guys want to protect us, but that is not your job. You don't have any authority to do that.
And
we will not allow you to violate the checks and balances vertically or horizontally. We will not tolerate it. And that's how the American people should have stood up and said, look, the law is there for a reason, and you have no authority to break the law and violate liberty. The two sides of a coin again. Remember, you violate liberty when you break the law. We need to hold you to the law. And the Constitution is far from perfect, but it's designed to help men understand God's laws and obey them by chaining them down with the Constitution, separating their authority and their power, and creating checks and balances on those powers. The negligence here, the dereliction of duty, is by we the people, because we did not insist on them obeying the law or losing their positions if they refuse. See, that's the problem that we have. We let them run roughshod all over us. And that's why at the start of the show, at the first hour of the program, I highlighted this where Chris says, hey, they're doing all these things that are wrong, that are abusive, that he's right. But we've allowed them to have 9/10 of the law. Possession is 9/10, they claim. Well, when a squatter squats on a piece of property, when two people are together, male and female, they're common law married after a time. Because if you let something stand long enough, it's assumed as if it's fact. Now, that's bad case precedent, because violation of the law doesn't justify codification of the violation of the law and pretending it's law. So that's backwards by fundamental understanding. It violates moral authority. But nevertheless, it becomes true in the modern world. So even though it's a battle we must fight and face. That's why Joel Skousen said, hey, going to these fiat currencies, these digital currencies, is inevitable. And it's inevitable that government, if we allow it to, will violate the law, will violate the separation of powers and the checks and balances that we should insist on. Then the mistake is Americans blame the Constitution. They blame the law because the law is violated. That's the wrong answer. What we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is understand we need to study good law so that we can then stand for good law whenever we have the opportunity. Chris?
We do, and I think that's going to be one of those changes. The education system will be revamped, but it won't be revamped on a governmental level. See, that's something that I think a lot of people would disagree with me. I don't think the government, even state and local government, should be involved with education, for example. That's something that I'm looking forward to seeing going into the future as we reform society during the millennium.
Remember, family is the fundamental unit of society. It always has been. And when the Savior returns, family will be the core fundamental unit of society. And all governments will be subservient to that family order.
That's right.
Ordained of God, ladies and gentlemen. We study good law because we want to stand for good law. We want to embrace good law. We want to understand what is good law. What is law? What is liberty? We want to understand the great lie and say, look, if government doesn't do it, nobody will. Well, most things ought not be done if nobody will.
That's right. Right?
Life, liberty, and property exist, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to defend those realities. If we lose those realities, we will eventually lose our religious freedom, and eventually we will lose our agency. My liberty is the ability to choose as I think best, as long as I don't violate the law. We'll drop this topic for now. We'll come back. They all lied, and we have proof. We'll do it in seconds on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The busy holiday shopping weekend continues, with today being Small Business Saturday. Over the course of the entire weekend, 166 million people are expected to shop. While shopping in-store has become popular again, online shopping is also popular.
I think we have a really big base of consumers that shop online, but we also have a lot of consumers that shop in stores, and our best customers shop both of them. They really shop by their situation, they shop by their occasion, and that's why we spend so much time and energy on being an omni-channel retailer that allows our customer to use all of the different options that we offer whenever it's most convenient for them.
Mark Mastrodoni, Chief Store Officer with Macy's, that audio courtesy of CNN. The Artemis 1 Orion spacecraft is now orbiting the moon. NASA says a milestone moment occurred Friday evening around 5 p.m. Eastern Time. The agency says Orion performed an 88-second engine burn to put the spacecraft into a retrograde orbit around the moon. The suspect in a mass shooting at a Buffalo supermarket is expected to plead guilty to state charges next week. He is due in Erie court on Monday after the initial hearing was canceled because of recent snowstorms. The suspect is facing a 25-count indictment that includes 10 counts of murder for the deadly shooting at the Top supermarket back in May. He's also facing federal charges. This year's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is breaking records. Thursday's televised streaming of the parade had nearly 28 million viewers, the highest amount in 5 years. The telecast quickly became NBC's highest-viewed program of the year. The National Dog Show, presented by Purina, aired immediately after and drew just over 11 million viewers this year. President Biden and the First Lady continuing their weekend in Nantucket, Massachusetts. This is USA Radio News.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733.
Welcome back to the Liberty Roundtable with Ann Bushman and Chris Carlson this fine morning, at least here in Utah. I don't know how things are going for you there in Florida, Cameron, but things are shaping up for a beautiful day here. And the headline of the Gateway Pundit tweet from July 11th, 2022, "They all lied and we have proof," written by Kara Castronova. So what are they referring to? "They all lied and we have proof. Highly sensitive DOJ January 6 documents leaked to the Gateway Pundit. FBI confidential human source infiltrated Proud Boys. Ran FBI operations on J6. Reported that they were innocent." And I would probably agree with that. Not knowing all the details, but knowing some of them, knowing that the January 6 operation was a psychological operation probably conducted by the FBI, maybe some other intelligence agencies. So who is the confidential human source referred to in the headline? Well, his name is James Aaron Knowles, and he is an FBI confidential informant. So he infiltrated the Proud Boys in Kansas City and some other individuals, and he reported as he in other words, he blended in as if he were one of the Proud Boys and a member of that organization. But he was a rat fink, as they would call him. And he reported back to the FBI, and we have leaked documents of some of the things that he reported back to the FBI that exonerates the Proud Boys in their activities on January 6th in Washington, D.C., Sam. And we're going to get into those. We're going to read them word for word. There are currently six Proud Boys members who are currently incarcerated. Now, it's been about a year and a half, Sam. It's coming on 2 years that a lot of these people are still in jail, and they have not received the benefit of a, quote, speedy trial, unquote, which is written right into the Constitution.
And they also have not received appropriate due process either, Chris.
Due process, exactly. Yeah, speedy trial, due process of law. And postponement of justice. And I think that this is an act of vengeance on the part of the FBI and people who are not of, who wanted to punish basically Trump supporters, I would say. Anyway, going back to the article. So somebody leaked this document. I don't know if it was James Aaron Knowles, who was the confidential informant in the FBI, who infiltrated the Proud Boys and was there on location when some of those Proud Boys admittedly entered Capitol grounds and entered the Capitol itself. But these documents basically demonstrate, as he's reporting information that he's seeing on a play-by-play basis as he's being embedded in this group, that these people do anything. And I'll just read some of the information that was leaked to the Gateway Pundit. And this is these are FBI documents. In fact, I looked at the photocopied document itself, not just a transcription of the document, but the actual document with signatures. And the official, I don't know what they call them, five, there's a name for it. But anyway, the FBI says, what groups, individuals, or locations are the target of threats, violence, in response to the arrest of Enrique Tarrio? So Enrique Tarrio is, I think, the Kansas City local leader of the Proud Boys. So the FBI is asking this confidential informant, James Aaron Knowles, what groups, individuals, or locations are the targets or the threats of violence in response to the arrest of their leader here, Enrique Tarrio? And then they go on to ask, what social events related to January 6th Washington, D.C. rally would incite or inspire an attack by violent extremists? They always use those trigger words, like violent extremists. And
yeah, I call them scare words, Chris.
Yeah. So that's the FBI. Like I say, this is on the ground, play-by-play, back-and-forth communication between this embedded FBI confidential informant and the FBI headquarters. And the confidential informant response stated, this is actually not his word for word. This is what the FBI recorded him in. So this is secondhand. He stated the only violence at the rally would be started by the leftist groups. The rally attendees would only resort to violence to defend themselves. So as an embedded confidential informant, obviously he is privy to a lot of the motives and intents of the Proud Boys. And, you know, according to his interpretation of what he observed, they would only use violence to defend themselves, which is completely and totally within their rights. Okay. So that's the first point of exoneration. Okay. So
let me explain this for a second. So the informant is saying there are no plans. So the FBI tried to lead the informant into it and say, hey, what plans, what events, what details are they going to create violent acts regarding? And the answer is none. They would only defend themselves. And that is all, says the informant. Chris.
Yeah. And the Proud Boys, you know, looked at James Aaron Knowles as, you know, one of their buddies. So they would have been very free in their language, communicating the intent of their operations that morning. And there was no communication that could be interpreted to indicate that they were intent on committing violent acts. Okay, so we go on. So the FBI asks the confidential informant, what weapons, tactics, techniques, and procedures will violent extremists, use to evade detection by law enforcement of violent or criminal activity? And the confidential informant responds, rally participants use Telegram and possibly other end-to-end encrypted communication platforms to communicate. And listen to this, the main reason of use of these applications is to avoid leftist group detection, not law enforcement. So they were not attempting to evade law enforcement by using these encrypted person-to-person communication means.
And let me explain this. We've known for years, and I've highlighted it on the radio, if you think you can avoid law enforcement with these applications, you're wrong. They all have a back door. Government has access to all of these. And so anybody who is worth their salt understands and knows this. You might avoid the left-wing groups that don't have technology behind it, but you're not going to avoid governments with this, folks. I'm telling you right now. So don't believe
There's
that
no
for
way.
One second. And the Proud Boys knew better, and this is proof they knew better.
Yeah. Yeah. So far, so good, right? If you're a Proud Boy, I don't see any incriminating. It goes on. So the confidential informant goes on to say that the Proud Boys were not involved in, nor did they inspire, the breaking of the barriers at the U.S. Capitol building. And I think what he's referring to, and we went over this about a year ago or so when we covered January 6th, Sam, when Ray Epps was seen on video whispering into the ear of somebody by the name of Ryan Samsel. Do you remember that? And then Ryan Samsel.
Yes, it was the Revolver magazine breakdowns that highlighted these realities and put them on video for proof as well.
Yeah. So I think that was the breach of the barriers. And then Ryan Samsel immediately went over and started pushing the barriers and eventually breached the barriers, you know. And then the police scattered, you know, like they didn't resist enough to, I mean, obviously the crowd was a lot bigger. But no. That's what he's referring to. The confidential informant goes on to say he
and
described.
By the way, the police, if they were for real, should have arrested Ray Epps and arrested Ryan on the spot
Samson.
For this behavior.
Yep.
They knew about it. They had it highlighted. It was on video. They were there. They saw it happen. Okay, this was all before the masses were there in the first place. The masses were let in dishonestly, believing there was no barriers, thinking they had a right to be there, not knowing where the lines of where they were able to be and not able to be. This was all deception, all highlighted, and it's highlighted in the Revolver magazine videos. It's also highlighted a lot of this in the movie about this, the other side of the January 6th story that the Epic Times put together. Go watch it, theepictimes.com. They have an incredible other side of the story on this as well. But this informant proves that the Proud Boys were not part of what these proceedings were at all, Chris.
Yeah, because neither Ray Epps nor Ryan Samsel are members of the Proud Boys. Yet Ray Epps, I don't know about Ryan Samsel. I can't comment authoritatively on him, but I know Ray Epps is still living a free man in Colorado. Anyway, going on with the quote. Now, this is not a word-for-word quote from the confidential informant. This is an FBI report of his communication with them. They say that the confidential human source described the scene as the crowd doing it as a herd mentality. And that is a quote, herd mentality. And that it was not organized. The crowd was shouting, "Stop the vote," as they made their way to the Capitol building. There were no other threats of violence made at that time. So far, so good still, right? The report continues, and this is not...
Hold on, let's skip the break on this one. And the other point to make, though, is Ray Epps was inciting the crowd with his herd mentality all along. That's evidenced by video as well, teaching them what to chant, teaching them where to go, leading the charge so that they believed they had the right to be where they didn't have the right to be. All these things were pre-planned. And you can see it in the videos that it was organized and planned. The people weren't organized. The informant's right. The people were in a herd mentality. But there was a plan in place, and you can see the leadership literally carry it out on these videos, Chris.
Yeah, and I might add, and this is review, I realize this, but it bears repeating, to just establish the reality that there's people walking around now like Ray Epps, like Scaffold Commander, like Black Stocking Cap Man, all these people, they're being around free. And Ray Epps himself was number 16 on the FBI's most wanted list for January 6th. He was on the list of people that were being indicted for crimes, and mysteriously it disappeared. And I know that's review, but I think maybe some of your listeners may have not have been aware of that, and he's still walking around there. Anyway, going back to the FBI document, the document reads, confidential human source stated that the Kansas City Proud Boys in attendance at the rally entered the Capitol building 30 minutes after the building was breached to help de-escalate, and I emphasize de-escalate, Trump supporters and law enforcement. Once the Kansas City Proud Boys entered the building, they told people to stop acting like anarchists and leave. So they're actually working with the police trying to de-escalate the situation, Sam. This is on an FBI report. This is not somebody's third-hand interpretation of what happened. This is an FBI official record. It goes on to say,
this is not our opinion in the media, the right-wing media, where they would say we make these claims without evidence. This is the FBI literally claiming this, using their infiltrated witnesses, their infiltrated trigger men, if you will, their literal informants to tell this story. This is the FBI's record, folks.
Yeah. This is official, and it was leaked. The FBI didn't release this voluntarily. Obviously, they wouldn't, for obvious reasons. Anyway, it goes on to say, Kansas City Proud Boys told people to start bagging trash from where trash cans were thrown at law enforcement, along with a woman who was saying the same thing to protesters. Kansas City Proud Boys grabbed an individual by the shoulders to stop him from throwing a chair at a law enforcement officer. Sounds like they were on the right side of this quote-unquote riot, Sam. It continues, Kansas City Proud Boy has told protesters to stop at the doors of the House of Representatives and that their voice was heard and that it was time to go. A law enforcement officer gave a thumbs up to Kansas City Proud Boys as they were trying to clear the area of people trying to fight law enforcement, unquote. That's an official FBI document. Why is that not being introduced into court, Sam? I would like to know.
And the same thing is true with the Oath Keepers. You know, the Oath Keepers were there for the same reasons. You know, a lot of people say, no, they had weapons. Yeah, they did. But they put their weapons outside of Washington, D.C., and they went into Washington, D.C. without their weapons. And that's the biggest proof that I have that they intended no violence or harm or takeover or insurrection or anything else. And they said the reason we have the weapons outside of the city is because if we need them, we will go get them. But we did not bring them because we don't want to violate the law. And so now we have evidence. If you watch the Epoch Times video, the other side of the January 6th story from the government narrative, you see the government literally provoking everyone. And you literally see,
yes,
the Oath Keepers did go in a military formation because a cop asked them, please go in and save my fellow police officers. So they literally put together a military formation. They literally went in and they literally escorted the cops to safety. That's all on video. There's proof of all that, folks. But none of this is making it to the narrative in court. None of this is making it to the narrative on the street for the average American to know about. Joel Skousen highlights the details here a little bit more, Chris.
I don't have the Joel Skousen quote. If you do, go ahead and read that. But I've got
according to Joel Skousen, they call this guy Greg Price on Twitter. He records this: how Representative guy's name is Brian Higgins. He trapped FBI Director Christopher Wray with a simple pointed yes or no question.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. I do have
right?
that.
And what happened is the FBI then was asked, here's what he said. Hey, Christopher Wray of the FBI, did any agents or others impersonate Trump supporters on January 6th? Wray continually refused to answer the question by the congressman. This is serious, Chris.
Yes, I apologize. Yeah, I did. That was the next quote. My bad. Yeah, no, that is serious. Because, and then Greg Price, actually, Brian Higgins is the representative.
Yeah, so Brian Higgins is the rep that asked the questions of Christopher Wray. The World Affairs Brief is where we got this, but we're talking about Greg Price on Twitter highlighted this question and answer reality. So we're telling you the source we got it from, and we're telling you where it took place. It took place on the Congress floor. When they were quizzing Christopher Wray down, this congressman, this representative that we told you about, Brian Higgins, is the one that asked the questions. But Greg Price is the one who brought it to our attention, is the point.
Yes, yes. So Wray continually refused to answer the question, saying that he can't comment on special secret operations of the Bureau. Well, if he had just said simply no, you know, we didn't have confidential informants on the ground during January 6th in Washington, that wouldn't reveal anything confidential.
Well, and the real question is more than just do we have informants on the ground. I think we've proven that. But he asked FBI Director Christopher Wray a pointed yes or no question. Listen carefully.
Yes.
Did FBI direct any agents or anybody else or any others to impersonate Trump supporters? Because that's critical,
right?
Because what they claim is the Trump supporters did all this. But if FBI directed its people to impersonate Trump supporters, now you've got a different game. Well, he would not answer the question. And since he would not answer the question, I would say that means the answer is yes to the question. That's an opinion to which I'm entitled. But Brian Higgins says this after the fact. He says, hey, if the answer was no, you could say no or yes without giving the details of the operation. It doesn't compromise anything unless the answer is yes, Chris.
Exactly. It's very revealing. So the answer must be yes. And we know. I mean, Ray Epps, all but proves. I can't say beyond any shadow of any doubt that Ray Epps was an FBI informant, but there's a lot of suspicion surrounding him. And the fact that
whether he's an FBI informant or not, matter of not. The fact is we have evidence that him and his buddies literally fomented this insurrection. And that it wasn't Trump supporters, it wasn't Proud Boys, and it wasn't Oath Keepers. They all got the blame. But proof shows who did it, and whether they're FBI on the FBI payroll, or whether they're FBI agents or others or affiliated or directed or whatever weird words you want to use for this, it really doesn't matter. Because these criminals should be in prison regardless. It does matter because we want to know that the government's involved in this. But it doesn't matter in terms of we know who done it already, right? I mean, it's on video. You can't deny that Ray Epps whispers in Ryan's ear and that Ryan went and pushed the barricades over. You can't deny that Ray Epps goes up to the police line and whispers in other people's ears. You can't deny that Scaffold Man, who we don't know the name of that person, that's why we call him Scaffolding Man, but he's involved with Ray Epps. Ray Epps on the ground leading the people, and Scaffold Man from basically the air, up on the building, doing the same thing. They worked in unison. It's beyond debate that they worked in unison for this, Chris. It's too provable in the videos. This is not questionable or in debate. What's in debate is the government won't touch this with a 10-foot pole, and we can't move forward as long as they control the narrative. That's where we, the people, if we let this stand, Chris, we're going to be in trouble, because then the next one and the next one and the next one only going to get worse and more brazen and in your face, because we the people have done nothing to chain them down with the Constitution. People should go to prison over this, including Ray.
Exactly. I mean, he should at least be indicted. And two scriptures come to mind in connection with what we just discussed here, Sam. One is, seek and ye shall find. Now, I'm a nobody. You know, at least you're a radio talk show host, but, you know, I have a regular day-to-day workday bloke job, yet I can uncover these facts. And the average American person, the retired person who sits around and watches Fox News all day thinking he or she is a conservative, can't uncover these facts. The information's there, and Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. And I think it is relative to our situation because,
people who are honest in the government could find this too. We should have whistleblowers everywhere, Chris.
We should. Ted Cruz. Now, Ted Cruz has invoked the name of Ray Epps, and he also talked about Ryan Samsel and the Ray Epps-Ryan Samsel exchange that we just talked about in Congress. Ted Cruz mentioned it once or twice. Why isn't he screaming from the top of his lungs saying, hey, there needs to be congressional investigations on this? And maybe he is. Maybe we're just not seeing it.
Well, and Ted Cruz, at least he mentioned it. Where are all the other 100 senators to back or 99 senators to back him? On one hand, we like to be critical of those who don't, you know, speak out enough. But we don't give credit when they do speak out. If I speak out on something and no one has my back, how long can I justify my continued speak out on something? At some point, I just say, hey, if it matters, if my life mattereth not to my friends, maybe it doesn't matter to me, kind of a mentality. Now, I agree we should still speak out. I'm just making a point that how much do you expect a senator to deliver political capital on something when no one has his back. When Ted Cruz spoke out about this, I didn't hear anybody else having his back, but he was pretty bold in the hearings. He asked some hard court questions, just like this Joel Skousen report of Representative Brian Higgins. Who's got Brian's back? How many people are doubling down? 433 or 34 more congressmen backing Brian? See, I don't see anybody backing these guys. When they stand up, they just take all the heat. How long do we expect people to do that? How long do people expect me to be a talk show host for 25-plus years and bring all this to your attention? I've had my life threatened over the years. How long do you expect me to do it with no backing, no funding, no support, really?
Well, hopefully until all of these secrets will be revealed, and that was my next scripture I was going to read, I take comfort in the fact, Sam, that according to Luke 12, 2 through 3, the Savior said, "There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." These folks think they're getting away with something, Sam, but they don't, apparently they're atheists because they don't realize that all of these secret works that they're involved with will eventually come out, and everybody, and I mean everybody, will know.
Yep, and we're seeing more and more of it. You know, Ray Epps whispered in Ryan's ear, and literally it's now gone viral. Even on Liberty Roundtable Live, we cover the details of what must have been said by the actions that follow it. We don't have the exact words, but we certainly have the order, because right after that whisper was the action that related to it. And I don't believe that the action had nothing to do with the whisper. But I've got one final story before the end of the hour I want to highlight. Vaccinated people now make up the majority of COVID deaths, Chris, in the United States for the first time since the, quote, beginning of the great COVID lie. People who are vaccinated are dying in greater numbers than the non-vaccinated.
I heard that, and that was on mainstream media, Sam. I think we're making progress. Yeah.
Yep, that's according to the new analysis of federal and state data, Chris. So it's a sad day because I don't want anybody to die. I believe ivermectin is one of the great solutions. There's a lot of other solutions as well. And we've talked about those literally for two plus, you know, almost 3 years now. But all I'm telling you is we knew this would happen. We warned against it. We spoke up and said something. They laughed and mocked and jeered and criticized and said we were peddling fake news. At the end of the day, we were right. They were wrong. And now even the mainstream admits we were correct. And now, why would Joe Biden be able to sign, as I mentioned this a little earlier in the show, Joe Biden has signed the international, quote, agreement to force vaccination passports. But now that you know that vaccinated people are dying in greater numbers than the non-vaccinated, you've really got to give pause to what Joe's doing now, Chris.
Yeah, now it comes down to the grassroots level. I mean, if our leaders are not obliged to do the right thing, then it devolves upon the people, just like in our founding fathers era. And I don't mean to say that we need to take up arms yet. We discussed this a couple of weeks ago. But we need to push back, and we're not doing enough. There's so many things that we could do. In Arizona,
a third of the Americans, 100 million, pushed back and said we're not doing vaccine passports, it'd be over, Chris.
Yeah, that's right. It would only take maybe even 75 million or 50 million. It's hard to say what the number is, but you know, in our founding area, only a fraction of the people were behind overthrowing the tyranny of Great Britain, and it worked. Eventually, a lot more people got involved when we started winning wars and battles. But either way, you know, an army of one, as long as you're aligned with God, is sufficient to overthrow tyranny.
I'm going to use my liberty to obey the law, ladies and gentlemen. That requires standing on moral principle. Do the rap, Chris.
Yes, sir. Without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving patriots everywhere, continuing our duty, sir.
For the Liberty Roundtable Live staff, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. But you got to get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right, will you? We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.